Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and I am joined by the fabulous Sarah.
Hello.
Today, we have an interesting topic. I would say, not really uplifting, but informative.
It's good to know.
Yeah, it's informative. If you get easily paranoid, like when we were talking about germs and disinfecting your kitchen, if that freaked you out a lot, this one will probably also scare you a bit, which is fine. I just want to wish you're going to be fine. Everyone's fine. I'm fine. Sarah's fine. You're going to be fine. This is information that if you want to know and if you want to maybe look more into about changing, please do. But this is about maybe just getting you interested.
I wonder how many people just turned off the podcast. I know. They're like, nope, I'm out.
No more. Well, at least first here what we're talking about. This episode's topic is about the chemicals that are in your beauty products and if they may be changing your hormones or could potentially be harmful.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so what are we considering beauty products? Just makeup or product like, I don't know, moisturizer, face wash? What are we talking about?
Good question. So I guess when I say beauty products, I'm thinking about like personal care products. So makeup and things for like your hair, like gels, things like that. Also okay. Shampoos, conditioners. But then it can go into things like face wash, lotion. We're going to start out talking about fragrances. So those are obviously in like perfumes, but in most of your other bathroom related products.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of, I don't know, like, yeah, anything like that's a cream.
Okay, a little bit really. Of everything.
Yeah, which is maybe more disconcerting since it involves a lot of things that you probably come in contact with. But also, like, I know it's pretty in right now to do like serums or like skin toners or mm-hmm. exfoliating scrubs. So in a general sense, most personal hygiene care products like deodorant as well. We have had an episode where we talked about deodorant before.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to go too into that in this episode. The last one about deodorant, we mentioned like aluminum and other things that are other chemicals that are in your product. So
right.
That's specifically for deodorant. This one, I'm not going to dive into that, or at least I'm not going to speak about aluminum in your products because I already have.
Mm-hmm.
But this is other things that maybe you might want to know a bit more about. I personally looked into it and I got interested because I've been thinking about the kind of stuff that I buy and what I put on my body and how that could potentially be affecting me. And so it just led to like something that I found pretty personally interesting, which I now, you know, like my Google search history is all just like different conditioners and I'm probably going to go spend a bunch of money at Target, replace all of my things. Not saying that you should do that. It's just like a personal interest. But I also need new shampoos. So, you know, it came at the right time. I don't know. It's
okay.
Interesting. So I want to start talking about this with fragrance specifically. And I guess I want to talk about fragrance because it's in almost everything that we buy for personal hygiene products, even for men's products as well. I feel like women's products are very heavy on scent.
But seriously.
Yeah, really heavy.
I feel like once you take a shower, wash your hair, put on deodorant, put on moisturizer, you can smell like 15 different things if you don't plan ahead.
Yeah, I agree. And I think some people like that. Like people are like, layering scents and things like that.
Right.
But you might think that it smells really good, which it totally does, and I don't disagree. But I've always wondered what makes it smell like that. You know, and like, what is that in the air and now on my skin?
Right.
And guys' products do this too, like cologne, men's sprays, deodorant, and even like, I feel like guys' soaps and things like that have strong scents as well. Just scents that we, for some reason, have decided are man scents, but
right.
So many products, they will list fragrance on their packaging and on their labels, but they, like, very few of them name the specific ingredients that make up fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
And so this kind of, like, lack of disclosure, you could say, prevents consumers from knowing what the full list of the ingredients in their products are.
And clearly this is within guidelines for what you have to list. So it's perfectly acceptable to just list fragrance.
Yes, exactly. And once I read about this, I checked on my products and they were completely right. Which
right.
was very weird to think about. It's like how on a lot of labels for food, things might say like natural essence or things like that, or like natural flavor. Like, mm-hmm. again, that's just a word that they're allowed to use, but you don't really know what that is. So most fragrance chemicals are not disclosed, and because like they're not labeled necessarily, and there could be a lot of different chemicals in that fragrance, but we do know that some of the chemicals in these fragrances can be linked to health problems, some even as serious as cancer or reproductive and developmental toxicity, and also allergies or sensitivities. I think about this a lot, with like some people really don't like when you wear really heavy scented lotions or perfumes or body sprays because the smell bothers them.
I'm one of those people.
Oh, okay. I'm
allergic to
that.
A lot of things, that, especially floral. Like if it's more of a food scent, let's say like citrus, mm-hmm. I do okay. But floral scent, it just makes I have sinus issues and my sinuses just are miserable.
My dad is like that. He would like, it would like really bother him if I, growing up, would wear like a body spray. Like he was always very aware of it, mm-hmm. and it bothered his nose. So I don't know, some of that people are sensitive, and that's because of the chemicals that are in the fragrance. And most personal care products like sunscreen, shampoo, soap, body wash, deodorant, body lotion, makeup, facial cream, skin toners, serums, scrubs, and of course perfume contain fragrances. And so when you're looking at a label of anything that has a fragrance and it's not like telling you what all of those chemicals are, sometimes it'll go under the name of fragrance or perfume or parfum, which is P-A-R-F-U-M.
Just French.
Very fancy. Also essential oil blends or aroma. So, I mean, maybe they're trying to sound fancy by saying it in French to make it seem more comforting. But but all of these words are like, I don't know, like umbrella categories for a list of different chemicals would make it smell that way.
Okay, so can you do a deeper type of research to find out what is included in fragrance, or are you just
not necessarily
in the dark?
You, especially with certain companies, like most companies won't tell you what's in their fragrance, which they're allowed to do, but you can see what kind of chemicals could be in your fragrance.
Okay.
And I will mention that because there are a lot of possible chemicals that could be in fragrance.
So is it like, would they say it was proprietary and that's why they don't list the chemicals, or what?
Yes.
Is there a reasoning behind that?
Yeah. So a lot of times the chemical compounds in fragrance are listed as protected as trade secrets.
Mm.
So it's like, oh, this particular brand, I don't know, like this Victoria's Secrets perfume has this particular scent and they're trying to protect that.
Right. So
combination,
you can't reverse engineer
chemicals.
It or something.
Yeah. Exactly. Which is like the FDA, they define fragrance as a combination of chemicals that give each perfume or cologne or whatever other product its distinct scent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's because everyone has their own distinct scent.
Okay. I mean, I have no desire to reverse engineer something, but I'm sure there are people out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I feel like in a lot of drugstores, you get like the cheaper knockoff fragrances that are
right.
supposed to smell like the other body sprays.
Right,
and
they're missing
cheaper.
That one ingredient.
Exactly. I don't know if that's just people who like sit in rooms and are really fancy and just smell things and can tell you what's in it. I don't know.
There's a word for that, but I can't remember what it is.
I don't know. Maybe that, I'm not sure how they do it. I'm sure reverse engineering is more than just people in a room smelling things. But
no, that's exactly what it is. They have superpowers.
It's a super smelling power. That's There's right. no science, just superpowers.
That's right.
In addition to scent, there are a lot of chemicals in the scent category, but a lot of things that create fragrance. They also can contain solvents, stabilizers, UV absorbers, preservatives, and dyes. So not just scent chemicals, but other things go into these fragrances and perfumes that we all know and love. Also, fragrance ingredients may be derived from petroleum or other natural raw materials. And companies that manufacture perfume or cologne, they actually purchase their fragrance mixtures from fragrance houses, mm-hmm. which are companies that specialize in developing fragrances to develop their own proprietary blends. Which I didn't know there was someone who's like, we're a fragrance house. It sounds very fancy.
It does sound very fancy.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
I don't know. I think they just put the word house on the end of things to make it sound more official.
Probably. It sounds like a cottage industry, but it's probably just a really big business. But, you know, they got me. So, also, other personal care products that have fragrance, they also can be a combination of ingredients along with other stabilizers as well. And typically those can be indicated by fragrance along with like fragrance and perfume, because sometimes they might just not have fragrance listed on the label. They could have other things listed as well, which is just another batch of chemicals to make it smell a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of different things that aren't labeled. And before we go any further, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back and keep talking about fragrances and the chemicals that are in them.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the Health and Wellness Podcast. We are continuing to talk about the fragrances that can be in some of your personal care products and also what are the chemicals that are in those fragrances. So I want to talk about why some of these chemicals and then I guess your perfumes and fragrances can be bad for you. I've mentioned that there are lots of chemicals in them that are kind of hidden on labels, but I want to mention a little more specifically about those chemicals. So the International Fragrance Association, which is the Association for Everything,
mm-hmm.
also known as the IFRA, they list 3,059 materials that are reported as being used in fragrance compounds. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
So there are a lot of
possibilities. Did you memorize the list, Heidi?
No, I definitely did not.
Can you break it down for us in an extraordinarily long podcast?
Yeah, that would be a really long podcast. That would be like a three-parter.
Only which, three parts. Not bad.
I would be speed talking. We'll speed it up in post. I will not be doing that, so don't worry. I know everyone just got scared and wanted to leave. But
and even more people just turned off the podcast.
I will not be doing that. But of these 3,059 ingredients, some have evidence linking them to health effects, again, including cancer, reproductive toxicity, allergies, sensitivities. So just because there are chemicals within fragrances, that doesn't mean they're all bad for you, because not all chemicals are bad for you.
Right.
But some of them have been seen as bad. And there are also a lot within those 3,000 that could be bad for you. Again, I'm not even going to list all of those because there were a fair amount and they have really complicated names and I don't want to put myself through that.
Yeah, they're all going to have like multisyllabic names, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I also want to mention there was a study that I read about related to fragrances, but I want to make a note about that. This study was self-reported. So if you see a study that is self-reported, you should probably take it with a grain of salt because people who are reporting could maybe be not telling the whole truth or not revealing everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting. So there was a 2016 study that assessed self-reported health effects from fragrance. And the study of a random sample of U.S. residents found that 99.1% of participants are exposed to fragrance products at least once a week from their own use, others' use, or both, which really makes sense.
That sounds reasonable.
Yeah, like everything is scented in our world and not just like nature.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just going to the store, you can't walk through. You know, you walk down the products aisle, you're gonna be bombarded with scent.
Right, exactly. Or even like in a grocery store, like the cleaning products that you use.
Yeah, if we're not talking about cleaning products or beauty products, like the candle aisle.
Yes.
I can't go down most candle aisles without holding my breath.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, any like the shampoo where all the lotions are and everything, mm-hmm. it's kind of everywhere. Or just people that you're around who wear like a lot of perfume or something.
Yep.
It's kind of everywhere. So participants in the study also reported an extensive list of health effects experienced when exposed to fragrance, ranging from migraines and asthma to gastrointestinal problems and cardiovascular problems. Again, self-reported. I'm not meaning to like seriously scare anyone. The findings showed that a high percentage of participants did not know of the chemicals included in fragrance and would not continue to use a fragrance product if they had previously known it emitted pollutants. I mean, now you know. Now you're not one of those people in the study that didn't know. But I don't know. This is an interesting study. I take it with a grain of salt. And I will say this kind of around the end of this episode. But generally, I feel like you can make the decision if you want to change the products that you're buying, like your fragranced products, based off of the different chemicals that are in it. Or if it causes you problems, like if you get migraines or have sinus issues, you know, obviously you probably shouldn't buy it.
Right.
But I think for other people, you can make the decision if you want to stop. I'm going to list some of the chemicals that are in fragrances. Again, not all of them. I'm going to list some of them. And a lot of them have been shown to be correlated to health problems, but not necessarily like conclusive.
Right.
So it's kind of up to you.
This could be different for everyone, you know, because mm-hmm. everyone's sensitive, you know. People are sensitive to different things, so you could be allergic to something, or you could, it's just, yeah, you probably know your body better than anyone else, of course. So
yeah, very true. Yeah, so if you get headaches, it could be related to fragrances that you're using.
Yeah, it could just be stressed out.
Yeah, I mean, that's very possible. A combination of the two, who knows. Maybe when you get stressed and you spray that lavender scent, you know, to help, maybe it's not helping.
It's not helping. Or it could be like me right now, a combination of sinus, migraine, and I really need a new prescription.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Going to the eye doctor on Thursday. That's a different episode. But
oh, yeah. We haven't done an episode about vision care.
There you go.
I don't wear glasses, so I guess I don't think about these things.
I have since I was in second grade, and I can see about 2.5 inches in front of my face before it gets blurry.
Oh, no. Thankfully have not had to deal with that, but I'm sure it's coming for me. My future probably holds at least reading glasses.
Yeah, once you hit 40, that's usually the case.
Oh, boy.
You got some time.
Oh, thank God.
Anywho.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Okay, so I'm going to read some of these chemicals. Yes, they have difficult names, so please bear with me. Okay, so the first one is acetylhydine?
It's named after you.
Oh, that's kind of not comforting. Okay, so this chemical can adversely affect kidneys and the reproductive, nervous, and respiratory systems. The chemical is listed as a suspected or is suspected to cause cancer, and that is listed in California's Proposition 65. Both the International Agency for Research on Cancer and the National Toxicity Program classify acetylhydy as potentially carcinogenic to humans. Wow, that really is named after me. Concerning.
Not spelled the same, just in case you're wondering.
Oh, no. You know, it's not.
If you're desperately looking for a chemical that has Heidi's name in it, it's not spelled the same.
Also, I want to mention, so the reason these chemicals can be allowed in your beauty products, if you're like listening, you're like, man, that sounds dangerous. A lot of times what companies are arguing is that they are in their products at an amount that is deemed okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're doing like 100% of this chemical in your product, which that would clearly be bad. But this chemical has been shown to have negative effects, and that's usually in studies that are using more than what's in your beauty products, mm-hmm. but a lot of your products can contain this.
Right, and if you're using a lot of products that mm-hmm. contain the same chemical, you may want to look right. into that and just right. make sure.
Or more of the product than someone normally would, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is benzophenone. And this is linked to endocrine disruption and organ system toxicity. And experimental studies suggest that benzophenone may lead to several kinds of tumors. Derivatives of this, such as benzophenone 1 and oxybenzone 3, or just oxybenzone, which is BP3.
Does this sound like every product in every zit commercial you've ever heard.
They all sound so similar. It's really very confusing. These are also potential endocrine disruptors. And this is listed as a possible human carcinogen also under California's Proposition 65. So again, in allowable amounts, but potentially in your beauty care products.
I feel like everything could kill us.
I mean, yes. If anything, California Proposition 65 has definitely taught us that.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Also, another, I guess, derivative of benzophenone, the butylated hydroxynosol. And studies have demonstrated that this chemical, it's BHA for short, has potential to disrupt your endocrine functioning. And that study was led by the European Commission on Endocrine Disruption. And it does list BHA as a Category 1 priority substance. And the chemical is also listed as a carcinogen on California's Proposition 65. Also looking into this, the European Commission for most of the EU is typically, at least it seems to be, more strict than what we have in the U.S. Or at least they've maybe done a few more studies. A lot of sites that I was reading about these chemicals, the EU appears more as having done more research into it. Hmm. I'm not really sure why, but that's just kind of been a common feature in all of these. Also, I want to note, I've mentioned the endocrine system. And your endocrine system includes all of the glands in your body that make hormones. So if your endocrine system isn't healthy, you might have problems like during puberty, or women could have potential problems getting pregnant, or other people can have problems managing stress. You could also gain weight easily or have weak bones or lack energy. And so your hormones are really important to your body. And so if things are messing with this system, that could be causing other problems. But of course, there are normal hormone fluctuations that occur in just different stages of your life.
Right. Which makes me think, okay, how do you even know if what's causing all of these things? We talk about things that can happen with your mm-hmm. body in a lot of these episodes, and it just makes me wonder, how do you ever narrow it down? I mean, you go to the doctor and you're having stress mm-hmm. or you're gaining weight. Do they ever just like definitively say, well, yes, there's too much of X, Y, and Z in your beauty products, stop it?
I mean, a lot of these studies did a lot of the tests were like urine samples, and they could then look into that and see the different chemicals that are in your body that mm-hmm. your body's flushing out. So sometimes studies mentioned like, oh, there's a lot of this chemical seems to be in your body. So, I mean, that could be potentially linked to health concerns if, you know, they rule out other things that could be going on. I'm sure a doctor would do other tests probably before they're going to definitively say, oh, yes, it's these chemicals in your body.
Right.
Most likely.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we're going to take another quick break, and then we'll be right back and keep talking about some more chemicals that are in beauty products.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Health and Wellness Podcast. Before the break, we have talked about the different chemicals and fragrances and the potential harm that these chemicals can do. I want to mention some other things that could be in your products, not just fragrance, but other chemicals and other ingredients. And these are often listed on the labels of your products. They're not hidden under the umbrella of fragrance, but they are things that you should be aware of. And the first one is interesting because it's something that I often read and think, oh, that's totally fine. But it's not bad for you, but there just could be other things about it. So the first one I want to mention is essential oil mixtures. And despite being fragrance ingredients of natural origin, some essential oils are allergens, and their allergenicity is no different than synthetic fragrance ingredients. The FDA treats essential oil ingredients the same as any other personal care product ingredients. And the International Fragrance Agency restricts citrus oils and other plant-derived organic chemicals containing essential oils due to their possible phototoxic effects. And essential oils may contain ingredients that could be carcinogenic or potentially also alter endocrine functioning. And that's not to say that all essential oils are bad for you.
You just went through that whole thing and I just sat here going, okay. I can't even come up with anything helpful to say to that besides, okay.
I know. I just hit you with like just a wall of potential bad words.
I was reading along with the notes to, you know, so I could see some of the giant words that were in there, and still I'm like, I don't even know what to look for. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think when I read about this, I have always like thought about, well, this could be bad. And then as soon as I read the big words or the agencies that test this, I get a little nervous.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, that's a big word for that. That could be bad. But
you know what I want? I want somebody that works at one of these places to just tell me what they use. You've tested all the stuff. You know what's what you should and shouldn't use. What do you wash your hair with?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like at that point, like, well, that's a trade secret. But I don't know. I feel like also if I worked at one of these testing places, I just like wouldn't use anything.
Right. You know? Or I'd just be curled up in the fetal position all the time.
Oh, exactly.
Because you can't go anywhere or do anything without.
Right. Yeah, and I want to mention, essential oils, a lot of people use them, and a lot of people find very beneficial factors, or, you know, they like them. And I'm not saying that makes them bad. I think you should buy, like, essential oils and other things with them from some company that seems reputable and someplace that you trust. I think more testing should be done about some of these ingredients. But they could have potential side effects. And again, it's best to listen to your body and see how your body may be responding. Another chemical that I want to mention that you've probably heard of is parabens, and specifically propylparaben. And paraben could also be a possible endocrine disruptor. Parabens are in a lot of different products.
What's hyphenated or what's abbreviated as PB? No, maybe I'm thinking of something else. Just keep talking. I don't know.
So they can be potential endocrine disruptors. Denmark has actually banned propylparaben and other paraben forms in cosmetics, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But they've banned them specifically for children. So I don't know. It's interesting. I want to mention there are some more populations of people that could be more vulnerable to these things. I mean, everyone could potentially be vulnerable, like if you have sensitive to like different scents, things like that, you have allergies. But particularly pregnant women and infants should be aware of these potential chemicals. And I want to talk about regulations as well. So the current laws do not provide the FDA with the authority to require disclosure about the fragrance ingredients. Or about, you know, sometimes other things can be hidden under other words, like in food, like natural essence or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The FDA is not required to disclose those. And U.S. companies are required to list ingredients on the label. However, this regulation excludes the individual, fragrance items in order to preserve fragrance trade secrets. And the International Fragrance Association and the Research Institute for Fragrance Materials, they develop and set voluntary standards for chemicals and fragrance compounds. And the U.S., Canada, and Europe rely on these agencies to identify ingredients for use in fragrance. So kind of this means that the fragrance industry is sort of self-regulating in a sense.
Right.
Which is a bit concerning. And if you want to avoid different products, you might want to just make sure you're reading labels. Because if they say fragrance, you might just want to avoid fragrance. Or if they're listing some of these other things like essential oils or Just, you know, anything else that you think you might want to be aware of, like the parabens, things like that. There are also some other chemicals like, sulfates. Sometimes people get, their bodies don't respond well to those. Also mineral oil, talc. And I also want to mention triclosan, which is often an antimicrobial chemical in a lot of antimicrobial soaps. So if you are looking out for chemicals that maybe you want to think twice about before putting in all of your products, don't just trust the word natural on products. Like that's just, I don't know, that's just like a pop word for people to like buy. But make sure you're reading your labels like you do with food. Do that with your products. If you want to avoid fragrance or perfumes, if you find you have a sensitivity to them, please, you know, whatever works best for you. It's also possible that because there are different chemicals within these categories, some companies, like certain products, you might react badly to, but then other companies that also have fragrance, maybe you don't, because there could be different combinations of chemicals in them. You just don't know. And if you want to avoid other products like sulfates and parabens, things that I mentioned, again, just make sure you're reading labels to avoid them when you feel like you should. So thank you so much for tuning into this show. I believe that brings us to the end of the episode, and please tune in next.
I'm going to go read all of my labels now.
Oh, yes, please do. I would suggest it. So thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.